You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And if your Social Security benefits have been denied, call 1-800-ELK-IN-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. We got full phone lines here, so we'll get to those. And then at 1:30, we'll begin the coordinator parade, Matt Wilhelm.
Jim O'Neill is up first.
Jim O'Neill. Let's go first, though, to Mike in Youngstown. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
All right. I want to talk about the coaching, not just Patton as a group. All your coaches, offensive line, defensive line, last year they were 6-10. It was Patton's first year. You know, a good coach will get the best out of his team. And I'm not saying Patton isn't a good coach, because then you got to bring in the right talent. But at 6-10 last year, wouldn't you think we would be at least that this year? Not that we're not going to end up with it, but, I mean, we're already. I mean, what's the losing streak at right now for the team? I don't even know. When did we win last? I can't remember.
It's the Baltimore Ravens.
When did we win last? Yeah, the Baltimore Ravens. We won twice since November 22nd of 2014.
Oh, wow. See, that's what I didn't remember.
2014?
No. All right.
We won twice
and then I got
since November 22nd of 2014. Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Somebody gave me this stat. This is since 99. It's not on the current coaching staff or record. It's the Cleveland Browns. And I don't know if you guys know this. I'm sure you do. You've done some research. 18 times when they've had the lead, tied or the lead, they've lost. 10 times in overtime, they've lost. And 17 times, they've lost on the last play of the game.
How many times?
17. Oof. Since they've been back. In 99. Does that sound right? I don't know. There's somebody that I know sent me some stats. The last
That's
play
rough.
Of the game?
All right, we've lost Mike. Let's go ahead and go to Reggie, also in Youngstown. Reg has plenty to say today. What's up, Reg?
Hey, how you doing, fellas? Hey, listen,
good man.
I'll get right to it in general, fellas. I was just, you know, thinking in general that, to me, man, this – the team in general is about four guys, to me, three or four guys on both sides of the ball that I think would be pretty good to try to keep around. I think the rest of that team, man, should be just junk. They should go back to a blueprint, start this thing all over again, and do it the right way. One of our biggest problems, guys, is the fact that a lot of players, I truly believe, and a lot of coaches – does not want to coach or play for Cleveland. I think a lot of it is because of the ownership. It seems like this ownership always wants to be the controlling factor instead of giving a manager his, you know, giving him the full power to where he's able to do what he needs to do. I think Farmer in general should go. I think he's an arrogant person. When I listen to him on interviews and stuff, guys, this guy, man, all he is, well, that's the way it is, and it is what it is and stuff. What type of manager and stuff talks like that in general to the public and stuff? Our owner will not come up. He should be talking to the people, assuring them there's going to be a change. You don't hear anything from him. Mike Patton is the type of coach. He's probably a good assistant, but everybody's not a head coach, guys. I've been a head coach. I know what it is. I've did it all my life. Always been a lead. Everybody's not like that. And the last thing I want to ask you guys, you answer it for me, is why in the world do we have to have Johnny Manziel has to play? Why? I mean, what is it? Why does he have to be the one to play?
I want to be able to evaluate him at the most important position drafted in the first round. I want to be able to evaluate him. He's the most important position, and I want to know who he is. So that's why. I want to know what we've got. It's simple. It's pretty simple.
I get it.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Sam in Maple Heights. Sam,
guys,
welcome.
What's up? How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. It's just it's just frustrating to hear people say, oh, we have to see what Johnny Manziel's going to do. We have to evaluate him. We have to put him out there. How can you put a guy out there who constantly lets down the team, the organization, and the fan base? It's getting beyond old. I was a huge Johnny Manziel supporter, but sure, this guy has let us down time after time after time. And what do you think is going to happen after he gets if he goes in there and gets a taste of success? You think he's going to stop partying all of a sudden? No, I think it's time to cut ties with this guy because he's just proved that he just can't cut it. And the Browns are I'm glad this happened because the Browns are the only NFL team stupid enough to see Johnny Manziel perform well and be like, well, we don't have to draft the quarterback now in the first round.
I would disagree with you. I think they, no matter what, they want to go ahead and draft a quarterback. They need to address that position. I don't think there's I personally don't think there's any question. Johnny Manziel answered that question for you as soon as he went and partied over the bye week.
Yeah.
Because I said, unless you're 100% certain in every single facet, which, by the way, I felt was an unattainable bar for Johnny Manziel, you're drafting a quarterback anyway. And I still firmly believe that.
Yeah. I mean, where in that first round or what, if we have number one, are we able to move back and accumulate assets?
And still get them.
And still get the guy we want. Exactly.
That's what you certainly – that would be the ideal scenario as you go forward, unfortunately, for given where we are right now. Let's go to Anthony in Cleveland. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Two quick things. First of all, considering Manziel, the coach said that he didn't say it directly why he didn't start, he wasn't going to start, is because he said professionalism. When you look at Johnny Manziel, you don't think of a professional quarterback, a professional person, period. He wants to work at his craft. He showed he didn't work at his craft when he didn't look at the playbook. He said it himself, he didn't. He wasn't a playbook guy. Well, to be a professional, you have to study your craft. He hasn't shown in these 2 years that he's willing to study his craft. Evidently, during practice, they see that he hasn't studied his craft.
Well, I would argue that you've seen that he has studied his craft, just the improvement he made against the Pittsburgh Steelers and where he is compared to where he was a year ago. So he's clearly studying and, I think, improving. And I want to see more. That's why I thought Cincinnati was such a great opportunity. You saw him play against Cincinnati and struggle.
But you heard the coach say it himself. The guy we just brought in off the street has learned more in this short of time to pick up the playbook and study his playbook than what this guy has done in 2 years.
I didn't hear him say that. And number two, Austin Davis, just remember, started 8 games in the NFL a year ago.
Right,
and that team cut him.
They cut him, but the thing about it is that professionalism counts.
There's nobody to blame for this situation that we're in with Johnny Manziel other than Johnny Manziel.
Okay, getting up to my next quick point is that are the Browns drafting players to suit a system or are they drafting players because they think they can mold them to a system?
That I do not know, and that's something they will say. You know, obviously they work in conjunction with the coaches to make sure that, you know, they get – the guys that the coaches want. But it's, in my mind, for example, you going into last year, you only wanted certain style players that fit or a certain style quarterback that Kyle Shanahan thought fit in his system. He's gone. So all the people that were just drafted to play in Kyle Shanahan's system, if that's what they were the best at, it doesn't matter. You have a new system right now. So that's one. I think you draft the best players, period, and good coaches make the system work with those players.
I agree.
So that's what I believe in that. That's what I believe. Let's go to Dino the Trucker, not Dino the Producer. Dino the Trucker.
Yeah, it's Dino the Trucker.
What's
up,
Dino?
Hey, guys, how we doing there, guys?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine. I mean, other than the Brown situation. But, you know, with the Manziel problem, I don't blame Coach Pettine at all. He's doing what he thinks is right, and I believe in him on that aspect. You know, whatever reason he's not starting Johnny, I'm fine with it. And I'll tell you what, Johnny did it to himself. Everything that he did it to himself.
Yep.
I mean, the boy's going to have to take his licks, and that's all there is to it. If he wants to be an NFL quarterback, he better start studying for it. You know, he's not going to be – I don't want Justin Bieber on the team playing football. I want Johnny Manziel. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want.
And amazing as it goes, Adam Schefter reporting today that the Cowboys could have interest in acquiring Johnny Manziel this offseason. By the way – just from a standpoint of again, reading that, Adam Schefter reporting that, quote, the Cowboys could have interest in acquiring Johnny Manziel's house. Is that a report?
No.
They could have interest.
It's a shot in the dark. Could?
Everybody could have it. You could have interest
in acquiring
Johnny
Manziel. I could be starting
Manziel.
My own team next year.
You could.
Could.
Unlikely.
And I could.
But you could.
Be interested in Johnny Manziel.
Either report that they are. I mean, they could. Everybody could. There's not a single team in the NFL that you would say that would be untrue about. They could have interest. Now, some won't or don't, but they could. The possibility to have interest in Johnny Manziel exists for all 32 teams.
And in to continue, it says, according to Andrew Perloff of the Dan Patrick Show, ESPN's Adam Schefter revealed Thursday that the St. Louis Rams, the Dallas Cowboys, the San Francisco 49ers, as well as Philadelphia Eagles head coach Chip Kelly have all shown some level of interest in trading for Johnny Manziel. And it says, to continue, Schefter says, somebody's going to roll the dice on him.
Exactly. So if you play him, this is what I think about. If you play him and he plays well, it's driving up his trade value.
Right.
If you play him and he doesn't play well, I don't think his trade value could be any lower maybe than it
is
right now.
What is his trade value right now?
I have no idea.
In your eyes.
It could be a first. It could
be a seventh.
Could be a, you know, one of those picks, what do they call them? A conditional.
Which backfired in our face once already this year.
It could be a lot of things. Who knows? The market will be what the market is for him. But Adam Schefter was on the Dan Patrick Show today, as we're seeing, on which teams could pursue Johnny Manziel in the offseason, and they were the ones that you just listed. And I think that there is very little doubt that somebody would be going after him or making a call. And I think if you're the Browns, maybe that's what they've decided. And maybe that's what this all means. We decided we're trading Johnny. We're not going to play him. The last tape they're going to watch is the Pittsburgh tape. His value probably might not go higher than this, and we don't want to risk it going down. Maybe that's why what they've decided already. I don't know. I know that if they haven't decided that he's out of the plans, I want to see him.
Yeah.
I want to see him. And it is his fault. Again, it's his fault that we're not seeing him. Mike in Northern California. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Matt and Nathan, you guys are cracking me up there about Johnny Manziel on your own team. I'll take him, yeah. I'll start a club and throw him in my club. That'll make some money there.
Yes, DJ.
Little marketing dollars.
Yeah, that's, you know, I want to say I'm excited to see Austin Davis. And regarding Johnny, if he's part of a 12-step program, he needs to have a sponsor. And when he's tempted, whether it's a drink or the spotlight, he has to make that call to keep him from the temptation. That's an inside kind of information. I want to ask you guys a question. Has anybody ever seen or heard of a tape or a video of I'd like to see a handful of videos of halftime speeches or end-of-game speeches in the locker room.
From Coach Patton?
Yeah, or whoever it is, what's pumping this team up? And it's really hard to do when you're losing like this. But I just get the feel. I'm starting to get this funny feeling, like, you know, Coach Patton's great. I like him, and he's got good quality. But it's almost like he's more like parenting than coaching football. I had a scenario in my head. Imagine this: John Gruden, head coach; Dick LeBeau, defensive coordinator; Norv Turner, offensive coordinator. What does that feel like?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't answer that question. I don't know. I'm not in there at halftime. I don't know what's happening in there at halftime in the speeches, et cetera, post-game. I've seen some of them after victories. You typically get an opportunity to see those, but I have not seen a ton of it, you know, in terms of what's going on with this team right now. So that I cannot answer for you, Mike. Appreciate the phone call as always. When we come back, we're going to hear from the defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, Jim O'Neill, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.